Hey everybody, I want to welcome you to our midweek video here Thursday morning, Grace Life Bible Church. I'm Pastor Brian Ross. Glad that you have tuned in and joined us here this morning for our midweek video. It's been a crazy week. I'm getting ready to teach this weekend at a Bible conference in Chicago, and that is going to be sort of the main objective of this video, which I will get into here shortly. But in the meantime, we want to welcome you here to our YouTube channel. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell so that you can stay current with our ministry here when we go live from the assembly building from church on Sunday, or when we create content here midweek for you. We're really glad, as always, that you have chosen to tune in with us. Our featured book currently for this week is my new release, From This Generation Forever, Volume 1, A Study of God's Promise to Preserve His Word. I featured this book last week in our video, an announcement of its publication. It's 340 pages, the first 27 lessons of my class, From This Generation Forever, A Study of God's Promise to Preserve His Word. And the focus of Volume 1 is on the issue of inspiration. So I'm not going to get into a long presentation of the content. I'll leave a link in the description for this video. For my video from last week where I went through the table of contents and showed you a sample lesson if you're interested in picking this up. I'll be bringing hard copies of these with me to Chicago for anybody who may be there. If they would like to pick one up there, they would have the opportunity to do so. I'm excited to be able to do that. Also want to mention our Rumble channel here, our alternative to YouTube should something happen to our YouTube ministry. We're currently up to 102 subscribers, so we've eclipsed 200 here, which is great. So if you're into alt tech sites and you would like to have an alternative to YouTube, please consider checking us out and subscribing on Rumble. Now, as I already said, the main focus of the video today is to discuss the conference. I have been asked to speak this coming weekend at a Bible conference, a Grace School of the Bible Conference in Chicago, Illinois, and I'm very excited about that. The theme of the conference is resilience, leading in a rapidly changing world. In the face of change, Paul exhorts, continue thou, and that's going to be the goal. So the theme of the pastor's conference, I should add, this is mostly a conference geared at pastors, trying to encouraging them, et cetera, in their ministries. And there's going to be a number of speakers throughout the weekend. Let me just go through the schedule with you. So these are all going to be at Shorewood Bible Church in Rolling Meadows, Illinois. They're all going to be live streamed on the Shorewood Bible Church website. And let me just pull that up here for you. I forgot to do this before we start. And you can see that there's an option to live stream here on the Shorewood Bible Church website. So all the meetings that I'm going to go through, here's Shorewood Bible Church. I'll put a link to the description in this video, and you can click up here on Watch Live Stream, and you can join in with this conference. So this conference starts tomorrow night, Friday at 7 p.m. Now, all the times here are Central Times, Chicago time, and the meeting will start with Remember My Gospel, 2 Timothy 2, 7 and 8 by Brother Ted Fellows out of Ohio. And then Saturday morning, Brother Richard Jordan is going to be kind of talking to the pastors about it's too soon to quit. Let's finish well. And that's going to be in a block of time from about 9 a.m. to noon. And again, these are all central time. Then at 2 p.m. after lunch, I'm going to be bringing a message, why universal reconciliation is a dangerous heresy. And that's the message I'm going to just talk to you about here briefly. There's a panel discussion with Wise Brothers. I'm not sure if that's going to be broadcast or not. Last year, the intent was for it not to be. And then at 7 p.m., Brother John Verstegen is going to cover Remember My Warnings out of Acts 20, verse 31. And then we've got Sunday morning at 9:30, Brother Alex Kurz, Remember My Labor. At 10:45, Remember My Bonds, Brother Des Stridham. The name is covered up here, unfortunately, by my video window. And then Remember My Instruction at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, which will be Brother Charlie McQuillan. So this is going to be a really good meeting. It's going to be a great time of encouragement. If you are laboring in the work of the ministry in a Pauline Grace Assembly, I would encourage you to join this meeting live. on the internet or as much as you can of it if you're able to do so. So it's going to be a great time of edification and encouragement this weekend in Chicago. Now, I want to talk briefly about my assignment here, why universal reconciliation is a dangerous heresy by Brian Ross. So I've been working on this message. I'm not ready to quite post the notes yet to the Grace Life Bible Church website, but I will be doing that probably before I leave town, which will be Friday morning. I'm going to make a spot to turn this in. I sound like a student turning in work. I'm going to make a sermon post to the church website that will have these notes in it. And what I've decided to do as I've been given this assignment is to talk about the following points. So here's a preview of my outline for you to consider what I'm going to be talking about as I deliver this message. The first thing I want to talk about or address is just simply what is universalism. Then I'm going to talk about what biblical and theological arguments do universalists use to try to substantiate their claims. We'll look at some of their proof texts and then what are some of their theological arguments, because universalists will use both proof texting and theological arguments to try to argue that all of God's creatures, humans, angels, even Satan himself, will all ultimately be saved. They will all ultimately be reconciled to God, and no one will be lost for eternity, and there is no such thing as eternal punishment according to universal reconciliation. And then I want to talk about types of universalism, thirdly, because this is a point I think a lot of people don't understand, is that there are different types of universalism. And one of them is universal reconciliation. Universal reconciliation is a specific type of universalism that developed theologically within the dispensational rightly dividing space. Okay. And it's somewhat different from what I would call, say, mainline evangelical universalism that has been articulated or argued for somebody like, say, Karl Barth or Rob Bell, the former pastor of Mars Hill Bible Church here in Michigan. So there are some differences in the type of universalism that is being advocated for by Barth/Bell versus the form of universal reconciliationism that developed within dispensational spaces by A.E. Nock, which is listed here, which brings me then to the fourth point I want to cover, is the basic tenets of universal reconciliation by A.E. Nock. So because certain former colleagues of ours within the rightly dividing Pauline dispensational space have embraced universal reconciliation or universalism, the particular stripe or form of that they have embraced is coming from A.E. Nock, okay? A.E. Nock is the founder of the Concordant Publishing Concern, which put out the Concordant Literal New Testament, okay? Now, the one I'm holding in my hand, I bought this one as part of my due diligence for this sermon, because one of the things that I was aware of is the fact that universalists deny the idea of eternity. They deny that the Greek word eon can ever be translated or is ever used to refer to eternity. They think it is only and exclusively an age. And A.E. Nock is sort of has created almost a specific universal reconciliationist Bible here through the Concordant version that they then use to substantiate these claims. Okay. So there's a particular teacher right now online on YouTube who has a sizable following, who since the fall of 2021 has been teaching universalism to his audience, that is using Nockian teaching, Nockian philosophy, Nockian proof texting, and Nockian views of certain words in the Bible to teach this. Now, one of the problems as I've seen as I've evaluated all that is this person is not being forthright and candid in the fact that they really are now no longer, shall I say, a King James Bible believer. And they are using A.E. Nock in certain ways. Now, let me just show you one thing. This one that I have here is the sixth edition. And if I go to the front of this, this is the sixth edition from 1976. This is a third printing of the sixth edition. The Concordant version has gone through six editions since it was first released in 1926. And then the sixth edition was published in 1976. And so the one I'm holding in my hand is a third printing from 1983. So one of the things that I was noticing when I was doing research and studying for this message is that people who were quoting the Concordant version from A.E. Nock were quoting it in a way that was not matching the one that I had bought. And so I'm like, what's going on here? And I surmised that the reason for that was that Nock had put out various editions. And so what I tried to do then was find the first edition of the Concordant version from 1926 so that I could compare this sixth edition from 1976. I have a third printing from 1983 with the original. And I was able to locate online a PDF version of the original Concordant version from 1926. Okay. Now, Universal Reconciliation is getting its turn, it's getting its name from the way A.E. Nock translates Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 in the Concordant version. So let's just look at that quick. Okay. Notice him and through him to reconcile the universe to himself, making peace through his blood, through him, whether on earth or in heavens. Now, if you read this passage in a King James Bible, it's very clear that what's being reconciled is the governmental structures of heaven and earth that are articulated and enunciated back in verse 16. The principalities, powers, mights, dominions, etc., that are in heaven and earth, that are created by him and for him, are the things in the context that are going to be reconciled back to Christ. But notice how Nock changes that here, and he says, and through him to reconcile the universe to himself, okay? So universal reconciliation is literally getting its name from the way A.E. Nock translated this verse in 1926 when he first released the Concordant version. Now, what's very interesting and fascinating is if you look this verse up in a sixth edition from 1976, you're going to see that he changed the translation, all right? Now, one of the things as I've gone through all of these things that I've sort of concluded is that Nock is, the Concordant version is an ever-changing standard, and I think that he's changing certain things, and I'm going to talk about this more in the message that I'm going to teach on Saturday. He's changing certain things because he's encountering criticisms about how he's doing things from theological opponents, all right? And this would be a extremely pertinent case in point here in this one example in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. So what Nock does is he retranslates the entire New Testament using what he calls a concordant method, which I'm not even going to get into explaining all the details of that. But suffice it to say, this is really a private interpretation Bible, private translation Bible that is produced by Nock to substantiate his universalism. So any reference to eternity, everlasting, forever, or ever and ever are all removed from the Concordant version. The word is used in its place is eon, or eonian, or eonic, okay? So what Nock is saying is that the Bible has nothing to say about eternity. The Bible is divided up into five ages, and the fire that is mentioned in the scripture that is associated with eternal punishment in all, and I mean all mainline Bibles, going all the way back to Wycliffe and coming all the way through, even into modern versions like the NIV, the New King James, the ESV, etc., they all translate the Greek word eon as eternal, and they recognize and understand and acknowledge that an eon could, the word eon in Greek could be referring to a specific shorter period of time, or it could be referring to eternity, depending on the context in which it is used, okay? So Knock creates the concordant version to substantiate his claims. Now, I'm going to come back over here. Just want to go through this. So the basic tenets of universalism according to Knock. Now, one other thing I want to mention is that the particular teacher is very often repeating that the so-called, what he's calling the so-called torture chamber view of God is an invention of Augustine, and that nobody before Augustine taught the idea of eternal punishment in eternal flame, if you will, before Augustine in the 500s AD, okay? Now, that's a pretty bold claim. Now, that's a claim that is being made banking on the fact that people are either, number one, not going to know any better, or number two, aren't going to check. So one of the things that I've done is my due diligence is I've checked to see, is that statement accurate? Okay. And what I found is that statement is not accurate. The Greek word eon was understood very early in church history to be a reference to eternity. Okay. Now I have a book here and I am going to try to call this up. So bear with me here for a second because I want to show this to you. It's a book that I had picked up years ago, and it has definitely been useful as far as understanding things that the church fathers have said, all right? And maybe this is in PDF too. Let me just check on this here. Let's see what we get. It is this book right here, okay? I'm going to close this advertise. This book right here, A Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs, a resource guide to more than 700 topics discussed by the church fathers. And this is edited by David W. Burkett is the editor. Okay. So this book works like a dictionary. So let's say I want to look up, well, what do the church fathers say about heresy? So instead of having to have the, 15 volumes of the Ante-Nicene church fathers or the church fathers that predate Nicaea, I could look it up here. And what this book does is it'll give you a dictionary form what the church fathers had to say about heresy or eternal punishment or the scriptures or baptism or whatever the topic is. And then there is always a citation here also that will show you where you could find that in the set of the Ante-Nicene fathers so that you can read the whole citation. So this really is a very interesting book, and it's a very helpful book, because it's its own volume to help you understand what the early church fathers said, but then it also works as an index for the Ante-Nicene fathers, okay? So apparently I am not going to be able to show you that here, but this is I will leave a link also in the description for this video for where you could buy a dictionary of early Christian beliefs, okay? Now, if you look in this book on the issue of eternal punishment, back to my main point, it's asserted that the torture chamber view of God and the idea of eternal punishment is invented by Augustine in the 500s, okay? And like the Bible, so first of all, there's two issues there. Number one, it's not true that nobody taught eternal punishment in eternal flame before Augustine. That's flat out not true. I'm just going to read you a few of these here in a moment just to give you a sense of that. And number two, the Bible teaches it. So you need to be careful what you're accepting as true from what certain teachers are saying, okay? And you need to be a Berean and you need to check this stuff out to see whether or not it's so. So here's just a few things, okay? And there are tons and tons and tons of entries here that we could look at, okay? So I'm going to go back to some of the earliest ones, the earliest documentable ones, okay? Here is Barnabas from sometime between 70 AD and 130, a guy named Barnabas. He said, the way of darkness is crooked. It is full of cursing. It is a way of eternal death with punishment. Eternal death with punishment. That's early on from church history, okay? The martyrdom of Polycarp. They despise all the torments of this world, redeeming themselves for eternal punishment by the suffering of a single hour, for they kept before their view escape from the fire, which is eternal and never will be quenched. So Polycarp is teaching eternal punishment in eternal fire in the second century, well, centuries before Augustine. Okay. We could come over here. We could look at Irenaeus from the late second century. Okay. To such he has assigned eternal damnation by cutting them off from life. Those who believe in him will be incorruptible and will not be subject to suffering. They will receive the kingdom of heaven. The unrighteous, the idolaters, the fornicators all perish. So it is also now, for the Lord declares that all such persons are sent into eternal fire. That's Irenaeus from the second century. Okay. Now I could multiply here multiple quotes from pages and pages and pages of entries here about things that the church early, the Antinician church fathers said. And again, Antinician means before the Council of Nicaea, about the issue of eternal punishment. So it's just simply not true that this is invented by Augustine. And in fact, one of the things I'm going to bring out in this message on Saturday is the fact that Origen of Alexandria taught an early form of universalism well before Augustine. So people need to be Bereans. They need to check the facts on a lot of the stuff that is being asserted out there coming from Connecticut. So and then I'm going to talk about reasons why universalism is a dangerous heresy. And then I'm going to end my message talking about practical thoughts on heresy in the eon of YouTube. So yes, there's a little play on words there on the eon of YouTube. So I don't know if I'm going to cover, I'm going to know if I'm time to get through all this. There's a lot of stuff here. I've got 11 pages of notes. I'm going to do the best I can. Anything that I may not cover to the extent that I want to, I'm contemplating making another video like this one to tie up any loose ends or to address some things that maybe I don't have time to adequately cover. But I'm excited about this Bible conference. Again, let me show you the schedule, the streaming schedule. You can pick all this up again on Shorewood Bible Church. I'll put a link to this. And starts Friday with Brother Ted Fellows at 7, again, Central Time. Saturday morning with Brother Jordan about It's Too Soon to Quit. I'm going to be on in the afternoon with my message on why universal reconciliation is a dangerous heresy. And Saturday night, Brother Verstegen on Remember My Warnings. And then three messages, two Sunday morning, one from Brother Kurz, one from Brother Stridham. And then Sunday night, also Brother Charlie McQuillan. So this should be a great meeting. I'm very much looking forward to being there. So be sure you check the description for, I can't even remember everything I said I was going to put in the description now. Number one would be a link to my book that just came out, which is our featured book for this week. I'm going to put a link to the Concordant version. I'm going to put a link to Sherwood Bible Church. I'm going to put a link to where you can pick up a dictionary of early Christian beliefs if you're interested in doing that. So be sure to check out the description under this video for those resources. Want to remind you before I go about the Grace History Project. We are rebroadcasting the Grace History Project on this channel every Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And we are putting all of them in a playlist. We're up to 73 videos in this playlist by the end of the week. This week, we are featuring a discussion of Schofield, C.I. Schofield, and the impact and significance of the Schofield Reference Bible on the history of dispensational thought. So be sure to check that information out. Also want to remind you about the class website for the From This Generation Forever class. This is the class from which this book was, the notes for this book were published. So check that out. Also, my wife was able to release a new podcast episode. And am I frozen? Okay, she's able to release a new podcast episode this week, Self, Mindset, and Business, which is interesting. You're going to want to check that out. And also want to remind you about the 2022 Bible Reading Challenge that we're doing here at Grace Life Bible Church to read through Paul's epistles every month for the entire year of 2022. There's two videos here explaining it, three different reading plans, and links to three different King James Reader Bible options if you're interested in checking that out. And last, just a reminder about our live stream. We go live from the church building every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and about 10:40. And you can pick us up live on YouTube, Facebook, and new in 2022, you can pick us up live right here on the church's webpage by clicking on live stream, and we will be showing up here in this embedded window right here on the Grace Life Bible Church page. So make sure you make plans. Tune into the Bible conference this coming weekend on Shorewood Bible Church's website. Check out all of the messages. I'm excited to teach this message here on why universal reconciliation is a dangerous heresy. Hopefully I've done enough here to wet your whistle, both for the conference and specifically for this particular sermon that I'm excited to teach. Appreciate Brother Jordan inviting me to do that. Before you go, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you have never relied exclusively on his shed blood on the cross for your sin and his death, burial, and resurrection as the only total complete payment for your sin, you need to trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Stop trying to earn your way into heaven. Stop trying to make God happy with you through your efforts, through your performance, through your religious works, and understand you cannot save yourself. You cannot earn your own salvation. You cannot earn your own justification. God is willing to give you eternal life as a free gift by trusting in the finished work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do that today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.